Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Astro Dim laying in my bed because it's my bed in astrology, motherfuckers. What's up? Season 4 in this motherfucking bitch. Hey, how y'all doing today? As you can tell, my voice is a little fucked up. I'm getting over a cold. I'm gonna try to make this podcast episode nice and sweet, but you know, a lot has gone on this weekend and I really want to talk about it. And I really wanted to start off this podcast at this time. If you guys have been thinking about starting something, I would say start it. You have up until, I'll say noon-ish of the 25th to do something. Because this is like that nice time in which not only is the moon growing, but Mars is not making all them fucking squares to Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn. So you can figure out how this works in your time. I use a 7-degree orb for aspects that are not connected to luminaries. But, you know, and if there are squares too, the squares are separating. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, if you want to start something, I think up until the 25th, you should start it now, okay? And so I decided to start it now, too. Plus, the sun is, you know, a little close, somewhat close to my MC. So, you know, I want to pop off while the sun is shining on me real quick, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so let's talk about what's going on. So, the season of my burn astrology, I think I'm going to save this energy for me talking about transits. You guys love when I talk about the new moon and the full moon. And I wanted to go beyond that. I was getting tiring. I was getting mundane. And so I was like, maybe, you know, what I could do is still talk about the full moon and all that shit. But in the new moon, maybe, you know, especially for the eclipse. That's one thing I'll do. You know for sure that I will talk about the motherfucking eclipse, okay? But I wanted to do more, you know what I mean? So I was thinking about doing is talking about transits that I'm interested in. Talk about also if I find more information about asteroids. If you guys have something that you want me to chat about, you know, when I have a link tree now. I'm about to have an area in my link tree in which you guys can do suggestions. You know, but it has to be something interesting too. So you can suggest something, but maybe I won't be interested in talking about it. I'm gonna be real. I want to talk about something like fun and interesting. Okay, so this is what season 4 is gonna give you guys. Okay, I think this is season 4. This is sad. I should know this. I'm gonna call it season 4. Yes, season 4. Okay, so this break was much needed. I needed to reorganize the business and stuff. You know, a lot of changes has happened on my side internally with Astrodim, the brand. So I had to make some adjustments. So thank you guys for being patient. And I had a lot of people hit me up like, when's the podcast starting? When's the podcast starting? It's here, baby. Okay, it's here. So, you know, next time I'll probably talk to you guys. Ooh, you know, I'll talk about the eclipse. And what I'm going to do, strive to do, you know, is to post weekly. Okay. But that means, y'all, that y'all need to go share my shit. Y'all need to go support like crazy. You need to favor my stuff so you can get notifications to listen. You need to really be on it because honestly, I didn't think y'all was going to miss the podcast like that. Like I got some, you know, my core following, you know, that be listening, but since the pandemic, it dropped. And I understood that because honestly, you know, a lot of y'all tell me like, I listen while I'm driving to work and, you know, work hasn't been available lately. So I didn't think y'all gonna miss me like that. I'm dead ass, or at least podcast version of me. But y'all did. And thank you for sharing that. For the ones that said it nicely, some of y'all were like mad at me. Like, that's not a way to try to get a Capricorn, Sun, Aquarius, Rising, and Leo moon to do anything by barking. That's not. Now I'm gonna be stubborn and take longer. But for the ones that reached out nicely, it was like, I missed the podcast. Thank you. But anywho, let's go ahead and talk about, you know, what's popping, what's going on, so we can, you know, talk about it, I guess. Shit. All right, let's go. So, first things first, I pop a freeze all the honeys. Okay, let me stop. Venus moved into Scorpio. Yay! But sometimes, I know people are not really saying yay like that, because Venus struggles in Scorpio. Okay, I'm gonna be honest, I'm gonna be real, and a lot of people are like that are, you know, into astrology but not going deep into it, are novices with astrology. I know you're like, Scorpio, the deep sensual sexual type of energy, struggle with Venus. Yeah, baby, it does. I wouldn't lie to you, it does. And the reason why is that, you know, Venus actually, you know, it, I wouldn't say struggle. It's really, it's tricky. So, you know, Venus is interesting because it has two rulers, right? It has, you know, Libra as a ruler and Taurus as a ruler. Now, depending on who you ask, literally, people would say that no, the real ruler of Venus is Libra, and so Libra is at home, and Venus is at home and in Libra, and Venus in Aries falls. But then other people would be like, no, it's Taurus, and then Scorpio falls. When Venus is in Scorpio, Venus falls, and so it's like a debate. Now, I'm just gonna say both, and this is actually not why, but I'll say this. This is kind of like a little bit of the reason why I used to stray away from the whole domicile, exalted, depressed thing. It's not that it doesn't hold truth. It definitely does. But the thing is, I feel like people often, like, first of all, it's this debate, right? Secondly, people pigeonhole themselves. And a lot of people's like, no, it's definitely this. No, it's definitely that. Like, I literally hear both sides. I've heard both sides for a very long time. And so it's kind of like, eh. The thing that used to annoy me is that people would pigeonhole themselves into like, yeah, I have a depressed sun. Oh, no, man. My moon falls. So, you know, blah, blah. You know, I hated that. I really didn't like it. Because it does, it's saying something, but it's not really that bad. And y'all, I really spoke on it, and I will ask you guys to rewind and go back and listen to when I was talking about Jupiter and Capricorn. I was like nearly screaming at y'all, and the reason why I was is because, you know, people kept saying like on Twitter, oh, Jupiter and Capricorn this year is gonna suck. I don't want you to be a Capricorn. And y'all were like really tripping, like bad. And I'm like, yo, it's not bad. Like, it's just that Jupiter does not act like Jupiter as much in Capricorn. What Jupiter in Capricorn does, what Capricorn is doing to Jupiter is making, is telling them to make a choice on what you want to push towards. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's doing. Sorry for the noise in the background, by the way. But that's what it's doing. It's saying make a choice and go with it. Jupiter typically acts, is Aries at home, is Sagittarius, so it acts more Sagittarian in a sense of, you know, being free and expressing itself freely, openly, being adventurous and spontaneous, trying different things simultaneously sometimes, and just jumping. Capricorn is a cardinal earth sign. It's like, okay, you need to be practical, choose one thing and drive it the fuck home. You know what I'm saying? But when I tell you the amount of people that succeeded, whether they subconsciously or consciously knew how to work this energy off of Jupiter and Capricorn, man, I'm telling you, it's you're not stuck if an energy is in a sign. It's just because it falls or is depressed in it. So I really want y'all to understand that. And get that. So, again, depending on the astrologer, again, because this is the reason, there's some validity into this, But the reason why I don't really sink too much into the whole fall depressed, exalted, you know, all that shit is, again, it has validity, but I hate when people pigeonhole themselves into stuff. It's really annoying. But anyways, depending on who you ask, Venus is going to be in Scorpio, and that's like, you know, where Venus falls. One of the signs of which Venus falls. And so the reason why I see this completely is, you know, Venus, yeah, is about love, but more than anything, it's the contractual side of love. It's the harmonious side of love. It's the compatibility side of love. It's the you know, just the balance. Everything's good. We just work good together. We're good together. We balance each other out. It's very air. Like, that's the thing. Like, love is about emotion and stuff, but love is also, do I work well with this person? You know, depending on your chart and depending on your age too, you may have experienced this, what I'm talking about, when you really deeply love someone, but y'all just can't work. You know what I'm saying? And then you fall for someone else and you love them and y'all just balance each other well. And the love may not have been as deep as it was with the person that you couldn't work with, but you can live with them. Y'all have a balanced and happy life together. There's no drama. Things are good. And you feel like, okay, we can make this work. It's not that you love someone more than the other, but certain loves kind of bring certain things out, and it makes people think that, oh, that's what true love is, but it's not necessarily. There's a more logical and practical and balanced and harmonious side of love too, and that's what we call the life partner. You know what I mean? And so that's what the Venusian side of love shows, with, you know, Venus in Venus with Libra and seventh house and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Scorpio though. Scorpio and Pluto in eighth house. Oh my goodness gracious. That is the, like, soul binding, emotional bonds, intimacy, transformative type of love. I feel like, you know, you can see a lot of twin flame shit if people got heavy, like, eighth house energy, heavy, you know, Plutonian sinistry. It's that stuff that, like, you can never forget about, that love type of shit. You know what I'm saying? It's really intense. This is the type of love that is, can bring out, like, the tough side of you. It kind of reminds me of Lilith. And Lilith and Scorpio in 8th house, they're different, right? But the reason why it kind of reminds me of Lilith is, like, Lilith is known in sinistry for, like, the feminine energy, whoever that is in the relationship, brings out parts of the masculine that they didn't think existed. And some of it is, like, not good. A lot of it's not good. So all of a sudden, like, I've seen people say this, and, you know, I have a Lilith report, and I've read sinistry. I don't do it no more, but I've read sinistry for people. Also, real quick, shout out to my homies that I trust in astrology, who I know will give you a good reading. There's a lot of people I know will give you a good reading, but these are people who read similar to me that I always suggest. When I suggest people, it's because if you're coming to me because you want to get an astro dim style reading, and I know people who read or in the same wavelength as me when it comes to reading, and that's why I suggest a certain amount of people. Doesn't mean that there's other people that I don't suggest when it comes to doing readings, right? You know, I just want to do this real quick before I continue. I don't do sinistry or birth chart readings, only do specialized readings because I talk too much. I know my lane. I'm staying in it. Okay. You know, I've did, like, solar return readings before. That was like 4 or 5 hours, I swear to God. Because I have eighth house. My eighth house is ruled by Virgo. I talk too much, I'm too detail oriented, and it's just too much. And people appreciate it, but I don't. I'm tired. Right? So the people who I suggest when it comes to, like, solar returns, if you just want a general natal chart reading, if you want a Sonistry reading. If you want it written, Kuti, King Kuti Beloved. If you want like a vocal one, Retro Poppy on Twitter. King Kuti Beloved, I know, is on Insta and Twitter. Retro Poppy, I see, only know him on Twitter. He's probably on Insta. I need to follow him if he's on Insta. That's the homie. We read very similar. If you want a good orary reader, I know Jade don't do them no more, but just follow her anyway because she might open it up one of these days. Follow her Patreon too. There's other people who read similar to me. Let me think for a second. Give me some time to think. Those are the people who I know for sure, like, off the top of my head, I always suggest. And it's not that I don't suggest other people. Other people are great. But if you're coming to me, you want a reading similar to mine. That's what I'm assuming, right? These people read similar to me. Av the Surgeon on Twitter. I appreciate Av the Surgeon because she looks at... She's very progressive, you know, when it comes to different types of readings. Like, they will look at sidereal, tropic, whole sign, placid, like, just like me. Like, look at it all, man. And I appreciate that. I think that's real dope. They see the validity in all astrologies, and I love that. So, you know, if you want a, you know, a reading that I don't offer, you know, holla at, and you know, you want a Demi style reading, holla at those people. They'll be amazing for you. Yeah, okay, so let me shut up. Anyways, the thing is about Scorpio readings. See, my voice is getting more fucked up, so I need to like wrap this shit up. But the reason why, like, you know, Venus in Scorpio is a little bit challenging is because it goes beyond comfort, right? You know, Venus is all about comfort. Venus in Libra connections is comfort in relationships. Venus and Taurus connections is comfort within yourself, you know what I mean? But Scorpio energy is like, nah, this is transformation. This is supposed to be uncomfortable. You're supposed to be vulnerable and transform within the vulnerability and really transform within that intimacy and become something different. And Venus is not comfortable doing that. They want that balance, they want that harmony, they want that good one-on-one. You know, you scratch my back, scratch yours, and all that. And so Venus kind of struggles in Scorpio. It does. And again, depending on who astrologer you ask, Venus falls there. And I get it. I get it. But the beautiful thing about Venus in Scorpio, though, is that it is kind of an all or nothing energy. The energy they take love and contracts and agreements very seriously. If you ain't really about it, then get the fuck out my face. And actually, as a loyal ass person that I am with my fixed energy, I respect it and I love it. And I think it's dope. So, you know, that's why it's hard for me sometimes to use, like, you know, falling depressed and stuff, because, you know, a lot of these energies are actually really beautiful, and I don't like to diss them like that. They're actually really beautiful. But anyways, with Venus and Scorpio in general, you know, Venus again is about agreements, relationships, rather romantic, platonic, but these are important relationships though. It's about self-worth, material worth, money. This is when we go into look onto others, people who we trust, people who we can be vulnerable to, and see if we can have balance within those people. You know what I mean? Is this when we excuse me, this is when we, you know, honestly figure out and understand, do we find our worth based off of others? Is that healthy? Is that okay? Is that right? This is where we figure out if this intense ass relationship is healthy and is it worth it. It's all about you not only transforming your worth and understanding the transformations of your worth, but it's about also transforming the relationships that you're in as well, and agreements that you have. And so you may notice that agreements are ending or agreements are starting. Relationships are ending, relationships are starting. You are transforming how you see yourself. You become more confident, more sure of yourself. Or you're realizing that your confidence is just conceitedness and it's a facade and you need to rebuild. It's a lot of that that's going to be happening here. Things are not going to be balanced. You're going to be shaken up. And it's funny because I've gotten some readings. I look at some general readings for like my sun sign Capricorn. And I've gotten a personal reading from Tamash. That was amazing. Shout out to Tamash Tarot. Absolutely amazing. That was gifted to me, which is so sweet. And, you know, one thing that was, like, that she said was that, you know, I was going to deal with a big shakeup like that. And I know what to do to Venus being in Scorpio. So it's really interesting and something exciting for me, because I have a feeling it's going to be a good shakeup. But regardless of if it's a good, bad, whatever, just be aware that this is going to be it. You know what I mean? This is what we're going to be focusing on, is transformation within our comforts, whether our comforts within relationships or our comforts within our material worth or self-worth. And it's very needed. I can't stress how needed it is. It's very, very, very needed, okay? I'm just trying to get the time in which this started. When Venus went into Scorpio. I know it was around 8 o'clock a.m. my time. But I don't have the exact time, and I may not have the exact time. You know what? That's okay. At least that's what I'm telling y'all. around like 8:13-ish, right? And so, with that being said, let's actually look at the aspects being made to Venus, and then I'll talk about Sun and Sag. And then we'll move on from there. One thing that was interesting is the semi-sextile between Venus and the Sun. Semi-sextiles are so interesting because, you know, what it is basically is half of a sextile. Sextile is 60 degrees. So that means planets are 30 degrees. Now, semi-sextiles don't have a wide orb like sextiles do. Usually a 3-degree orb for that, right? But this is almost exact. They're like minutes away from each other, like a good 19 minutes away from each other. Well, the orb is 19 minutes away. They're technically 30 minutes and 19 minutes. No, 30 degrees and 19 minutes. Whatever. Can't think of the math right now. I'm sick and I'm tired. But anyways, basically, with this energy, semi-sextiles are quite interesting because they're a sextile with a little bit more constraints. And the reason why I say that is, like, sextiles are dope. They're harmonious, but there's like a learning lesson within it. But you learn it harmoniously. It's vibes. It's a vibe for real. So like trines, you know how things just automatically happens and it's just natural. Sextiles is like things are harmonious and it's happening, but you're learning from it, you're understanding what changes that needs to be made, you're growing from it. It's beautiful. I actually would prefer sextile relationships and trine relationships. With trine relationships, sometimes things get too easy and it's boring, you know. But anywho, you know, with that energy though, you know, it feels like they are learning you know, we are learning about relationships, basically. And the beautiful thing about it is we're learning the transition between the relationships. Now think about it. Venus is at 0 degrees Scorpio and the sun's at 29 degrees Scorpio. The beginning and the end, literally. So we're learning the transition of Scorpio within these energies. Understanding that how the possessiveness and the jealousies and the controlling energy develops into letting go and being more free and understanding, and knowing that, you know, intimacy is trust. You know what I'm saying? Like, usually the negative energies or side of Scorpio is based off lack of trust, whether within the person or within themselves. And when you're at, I have 29 degrees Scorpio energy in my chart too. My Mars is there. And I can say I don't act like other Scorpio energy folk. I really don't. And one thing that I could say is that a lot of times, with that 29 degree Scorpio energy, is kind of like, yeah, I'm nowhere near like a Sag Mars at all, but I feel like it's like a developed Scorpio of, yes, wanting that closeness and that vulnerability and that intimacy, but knowing that, you know, this person can go off and do whatever and I trust them. And I still have that intimacy with them no matter how far they are. And it's cool. You know what I mean? It has that blend of it. And so I feel like with the sun being at 29 degrees when Venus moved into Scorpio, you know, I feel that this energy is basically highlighting the end goal. You know, because sun represents where you highlight. It highlights the end goal of this transit. Of being vulnerable and allowing this vulnerability to transform, you know, your wants, your desires, your self-worth, your material worth, your relationships, the close one-on-one relationships, the agreements that you have and things like that. And so it's really amazing. I think that's something that definitely needs to be talked about. And I think a beautiful thing about it too is that this lesson is not going to be that difficult, because we see the end goal. We actually, whether it's subconscious or not, you see the end goal, and you see this reality with that semi-sextile energy. So some deep ass shit. I think it's actually very dope. I think it's very, very dope. Anywho, let's move forward. Venus is also, let me see something. Ooh, child, things are going to be easier. Ooh, child, things are going to be brighter. Venus is squaring Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto. It's an applying square. It is not lit. Although we see the end goal here, right? there's definitely going to be some troubles in paradise, some shakeups for real. They're applying squares. They're separating squares. And so, excuse me about that. I'm totally off with that one. The thing that's interesting about this, though, separating squares kind of represents what you're coming out of from this transit, right? So, you know, you're moving into Venus and Scorpio, having to deal with, you know, Venus square Saturn, which brings, you know, disagreements because of responsibilities, disagreements from authorities, not getting what you desire, what you want, because there's someone wagging your finger saying no. You're moving out of it, but you're also learning, with Venus getting into Scorpio, right? You know, Is this what I want? Why am I relying on this other person to get my needs, to get my desires, whether it's material or relationship? You know what I mean? And things like that. So this is when you start to question these things, start to go through your transformation. And you can go through this transformation with somebody or by yourself. But the thing that makes it special here is that you are, regardless of if you're with a person or not, you're still reflecting back on intimate situations that you had with other people or other entities too. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I see there. The kind of like moving away and learning and understanding people wagging your finger, telling you how things are supposed to be because it's the right thing to do, because it's responsible, because authority says so, because whatever. You know, dealing with the restrictions of that and figuring out, well, why am I having a restriction? Why am I so attached to this other situation, and how can I transform from it to be able to have more sovereignty in this decision? Do you feel what I'm saying? So that's what I see there with Venus square Mars. Listen, my fucking time lord this year is Venus, and Venus has been banged the fuck up. Like, I swear to God, like, y'all don't understand my life, okay? I'm gonna tell this story probably at the end of the year, but ciao, Venus as my time lord has been tough this year. Anyways, Venus is squaring Jupiter too, and so stopping the abundance of the desires and the money and the things that you want, but you're moving away from it, and again reflecting on, why am I leaning on this other energy? Do I need to transform out of it so I can have some sovereignty? It's also speaking of, you know, being restricted of overindulging, or when overindulging goes wrong. Definitely speaking of that, you learn into, with Jupiter and Capricorn, you're learning to have more authority and control, specifically when it comes to the philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and cultures that you have. So it's a huge transformation. Realizing that, you know, everything that you want sometimes is not following your philosophy. It may not be good for you. It may cause overindulgence in one way or another. And so, you know, definitely be careful with that. Keep your eyes open with that. But you're moving away from it. You know, this is a square that you're pushing forward. And so you've dealt with the grunt of it already. However, this whole transit, you're thinking back to that energy and healing and learning from that situation. Hopefully healing. You know, everybody don't be healing sometimes. And that's a little frustrating, but let's move forward. Venus, lastly, with the squares, is also square Pluto. Hold on one second. I'm recording something. Sorry, y'all. So ghetto. And I would have stopped this recording, but I'm recording directly on Anchor like an idiot. So I can't stop. This is live, y'all. Shit. So anyways, Venus is square Pluto too. Again, another separating situation. And the thing is with that too, this is really interesting because Pluto speaks of transformation as well, which is what we're specifically transforming with Venus and Scorpio, is how we view relationships and our self-worth and the material worth that we have and things like that. That's the things that we're looking to transform. That's the things that we're digging deep in, into our vulnerabilities when it comes to these things and how we can grow from it. But, you know, with Pluto and Capricorn, the big lesson all these years is specifically transforming authority. And so in order for us to be able to, transform our self-worth, material worth, or how we see relationships and things like that and open up, we have to kind of face the music and realize, like, why am I so sold in this whole unionizing in order to get whatever? You know what I mean? Like, I have to like, for example, I have to get an investor in order for me to have my own self-worth, or I have to be, have this deep, intense ass love in order for me to have a relationship. You know, you're realizing that, hey, with this energy squaring Pluto and Capricorn, you're dealing with a harsh lesson of like, well, shit, maybe I need to transform how, about like transform like the what I see as authority. And when I say that, I mean like the things that have authority and control over my life. Like, why do I have to have things a certain way? Why can't I think beyond that? I need to transform that. That's what I've been meaning with, like, you know, transformation of authority. It's like, question authority, question why you do the things you do, and why you, the things that have control of your life, why does it have control of your life? Why aren't you fully sovereign? Why you things have to be a certain type of way? So this is really changing that. And again, you're moving away from it. Again, this is a square that is separating. So you're realizing it's something that you probably realized beforehand, but now you're still in the process of healing and things like that. So should be interesting. I feel like that's going to be probably the first thing that you are realizing during this transit, since you know, even now today, Venus is not fucking aspecting Pluto no more, so shit. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, the moon is trine Venus, and it's a applying trine. How cute. And so throughout this process, there's definitely going to be a very like up and down understanding. I have like a Venus moon transit in my sun, and one thing that Venus moon transit to my chart, and one thing I could say about that is that, you know, my wants and needs, and whether in relationships or material things or even my principles, well, not really my principles, but you know, it's very up and down, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I want this, sometimes I want that, sometimes I want that, sometimes I want this. It's very like whoop whoop whoop. And you know, this is a trine energy, and so yes, you're gonna have that up and downness to it, but you're also going to be able to understand what you want at that moment, at least, and honestly get what you want, especially towards the end of this transit, because at, you know, all the squares that are happening, there's squares that are like separating, so you're like reflecting and learning and preparing, and once you kind of get a knack of things, is, you know, you're going to be able to get what you want, you know, which is actually pretty litty, pretty dope. And with this trine too, you're going to tap into the emotional connections of, but why do I want this on an emotional level? Is it because of, you know, things that I've been taught? Is it what I really want? You know what I mean? You're going to really tap into the emotional side of why you want the things that you want. It's really actually going to be a great learning lesson. It's going to be almost automatic. And so because all it's going to be so automatic, you may not realize that you're going through these thoughts. It might be a kind of subconscious thing. So really even like writing a journal during this time to really understand the emotional lessons that you are going to be kind of like working through is going to be smart. I think that'll be a good idea. Last aspect is that the Venus is going to be opposite Uranus, right? This energy is funny. It's not even like, it's kind of like a close call opposition too, because the like is that seven degrees away, but almost 8 degrees is like 51 minutes, right? And with this energy, you know, this kind of shows, you know, of course Uranus is an expectancy of stuff, like something coming out of nowhere, very eclectic, very unique, very strange energy. And it's in Taurus was typically known as like being stubborn and traditionalist and things like that. And so while Uranus have been in Taurus, you know, we've been exploring you know, our uniqueness and how we can add some stability into it, our quirkiness and add some stability to it, making it the new normal, that type of vibe, you know what I mean? And you're just normalizing things that we felt that were strange or weird or whatever. And you know, with Uranus opposite Venus, we're realizing like the things that we feel are strange and unique and weird, and we are kind of like accepting it a little bit, but also to like trying to balance at least, like, you know, getting what you want based off of like getting what you, it's kind of like a teeter-totter of almost of what you want because you want it and it fulfills some of your needs, your unconventional and unique needs, and then also getting what you want and understand what you want because of like society may kind of build you to want this. And you know, it's also important to realize when society wants you to want something, but if you've been raised a certain way and now society taught you to want it, but now you actually want it, I think that's all right. It's just kind of realizing why you want the things that you want, you know what I'm saying? If you still want the certain things that you want, it's okay, you know what I mean? Just because society pushed you to do it, it's okay, but just like don't get fooled, you know what I'm saying? That's what I think, that's the big lesson within this. And it might be a little interesting lesson, because it's going to remind you of like all of the lessons that you've learned beforehand, that I was talking about with Venus having a separating square towards that stellium in Capricorn. You get what I'm saying? So you're going to be confronted a lot with certain things. So it's going to be really interesting. And so you're going to have to learn how to balance your unique wants versus your wants of, because you want it, you know, because it kind of like society kind of built that up. But another thing too is that you're also going to be balancing the unique wants of yourself versus the unique wants of the people that you partner up with. So that's interesting too. All right. Real quick. Happy Sag season. Hi Sages. I love you. Hey Booze. I'm trying to get the time in which it was Sag season too. Let me get that going. So it was around like 4 o'clock yesterday, the 21st. Happy Sag season, babies. Hey, hey. That's gonna be interesting to talk about too. I mean, that Sun Venus transit I talked about, still real, still semi-sextile, yeah, Shane. What else is happening? So this is actually interesting too. Sun is having a separating sextile with that Capricorn stellium, which is really interesting. And so this is again beautiful learning lessons on how to express the energy of the stellium. And what I mean by that is, you know, Sun sextile Saturn, you know, learning how to express yourself. It's kind of like, I hate adding like Saturn equals restrictions, right? But kind of like how to restrict yourself to be more responsible, but to the fact that it's like you feel good about being responsible, you know what I'm saying? That's what that energy is all about. And so it's really cool. I think it's dope. And it's funny though, because you're having that square with Venus, and so even though you're kind of like expressing yourself in a more responsible way, you still have these wants and needs that you need to confront and learn from. You know what I'm saying? So interesting. Same with, you know, that Jupiter sextile as well, but it's more so like you learning how to express yourself, and to express the philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and cultures that you have taken in, so you can really gain from it. There's a reason why, like, Jupiter represents abundance, but also philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and cultures, is because the way that you think via those philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and cultures is what is going to lead you to abundance. You feel what I'm saying? And so definitely a harmonious lesson within that for all too. So please take advantage and look at where, which houses those are going to fall, so you can learn from that. And then Sun is going to also sextile Pluto. And that sounds terrible with Pluto. I wasn't expecting that. And anyways, with Pluto, you know, we're learning to express ourselves in a way in which we are not negating our negating like our true feelings for certain things. You know, we're applying the emotions that we want, but still acting in a way where you're not putting too much of your heart in the sleeve, because you know that's so Scorpio. They got to be private. They got to be, you know, people who have major Pluto energies, they have to be private. They have to, you know, be discreet. But at the same time, they do want to allow their feelings to be expressed. And so I feel like you're learning how to work with that, to be able to express yourself appropriately yet have control. You know what I mean? To be able to get what you want. Especially with Pluto being in Capricorn too. So it's actually a pretty dope energy. However, you know, the moon is going to be square the sun. And what's interesting about that is that Venus is trying the sun. And so your emotions are going to be leaning a little bit more towards you wanting to, you know, your emotions are going to be tending to your desires more so than like this new way of how you want to express yourself. You know, again, with Sun and Sag in general, you know, Sun represents self-expression. Sun represents your conscious expression. You know, you're going to be able, you know, this makes sense why the holidays fall in this time. You are expressing yourself based off your passions, your motivations, your drives, and how it changes and how it being ever changing. So that's why people in the Sun and Sag that have this natally, they be jumping from one thing to another thing to another thing, because their motivations and drives changes. They're mutable. And their motivation and drive is connected to fire energy. You know, that's how they are. But we are all generally like that. Specifically where Sagittarius is in our chart, and especially during Sag season. So, you know, don't be acting brand new, guys. Like, when it comes to different signs that you disagree with, we act like that in one way or another. But anyway, you know, the moon is going to want to tend more into your desires and your wants. While, you know, especially with that sun sextile, that Capricorn stellium, you're trying to be this new, you're trying to be within this new vibe. So it's going to be quite interesting to see that exchange. However, you know, the moon is squaring the sun, but in a sign that typically Sag gets along with Aquarius. So a square is not the worst square, but it's a square is a square is a square, baby. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And that's it for me. That's it. Yeah, that's all we got. I hope this was helpful, y'all. I hope I'm preparing you guys for this next season. Not season, but this Sag season and this Scorpio and Venus and Scorpio season. Again, with Sag and Sun, you know, this is a time for us to, you know, pay attention to our motivations, our drives, and the things that like light a fire under our asses, and just giving it a try. Just giving it a try. You know what I'm saying? That's an important time to do that. Going forward, that's that adventurous ass Sun energy. And yeah. That's what I got for y'all. I'm tired now. I've been talking longer than I expected. Again, that Virgo 8th house, I have to be detailed. But I hope this was helpful. Let me know if you have any questions or whatever. And hit a real one up, okay? Alright, love you guys. Bye.